Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's Wednesday night. Time for words of wisdom. Plain and simple. And I'm your host, Minister Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the God of people, come before the people of God as we explore the Word of God together. There's so much going on in the world today. There's so much confusion and lies and alibis and murders. But we have something that we can hold on to. Someone that we could go through the storm with. And I came to tell you tonight, his name is Jesus. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter. Verses 1 through 12. And the title of our lesson is, What Our Attitude Should Be. What Our Attitude Should Be. At this time, I'm going to go ahead and play the song. And then when we get through listening to the song, we'll come back and we'll explore the Word of God together. As always, I ask that each and every one of you pray for the Bible study, that God can use it as a tool to enrich and help somebody. Pray that God give you understanding and clarity about what's being said. Because your job is to take it in and then issue it out. So be prayerful for the Bible study. And as always, I ask that each and every one of us pray for one another. So I'm going to go ahead and play this song. The name of the song is Let the Church Say Amen. The reason I chose this song tonight, because as I was reading the printed scriptures in Matthew 5 through 12, it was Jesus preaching. And you know when you be in church and the preacher's preaching and he says something that you agree with and you say amen. So the name of this song is Let the Church Say Amen. And I want you to know that you should never say amen unless you agree with what's being said. Plenty times in congregations or at spiritual meetings and things, they say, let everybody say amen. You don't say it unless you agree with what has been said. So I'm going to play the song right now because after reading the text and studying the Word of God, I can truly say amen.
Thank you.
And that was, let the church say amen. You know, in the song he said, God said it. And we just have to believe it. God says it, and that finishes it. You know, we study in the word of God, and God is telling us what he could do for us, what he want to do for us, and what we should do towards him. And at some point, we have to just take hold of it, believe it, even say amen to it, and then do our best to try to achieve it. You know, we can't continue and just be hearers of the word and not become doers of the word. We have to be committed to the things of God, what God has said in his word, and what God has commanded us to do in his word. And since we have more callers called in, the title of our lesson is What Our Attitude Should Be. We're going to be in Matthew's, the 5th chapter in the 12th verse. For those who are paying attention, about 2 weeks ago we did I did a lesson in the book of Matthew's. In that same chapter, it was different verses. And I asked you to read the 5th chapter as well as I asked you to read the Beatitudes today. If you read the chapter a week or two ago, you would have known that you had read that because it's in the same chapter. For those who remember, we know that it was talking about we are the salt of the earth. And the second part of the lesson that we did was, let your light so shine that men may see your works and give God the glory. Tonight we're in chapters 1 and 1 through 12, which was above that, but it's still a part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. You see, when Matthew's open, our background, when Matthew's open, the book of Matthew's, you know, it talked about Jesus' genealogy, and then it talked about him being born, and then they talked about Joseph a little bit, and they talked about all of these things. And after that, Jesus and was baptized by John the Baptist when he grew up, of course. And Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, led in the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan. These are the things that occurred right before the sermon. You see, he began his ministry, and he chose his disciples. Immediately his fame spread, and great multitudes follow him. This is Jesus' first sermon, and we see that he is a teaching, preaching. He is setting the stage for us to know why he came, what he would do, and what is our part to play in God's master plan for his people. You see, to Jesus, to be blessed means more than happiness. Jesus began his sermon with words that seem to contradict each other. You see, God's will is a contradiction of the word's way. You know, when Satan tried to get victory and Satan decided he was going to try to get him people, Satan could only imitate God. So things that God does, Satan does, but he flipped it on the flip side. Come on, y'all. That's why Satan's going to have an antichrist. Because Jesus is God's son. Satan wants him a son. And he has everything in the world. The world contradicts the standards of God. And if you want to live for God, you must be ready and willing to do what seems strange to the world. You know, we are often told we are in the world, but we're not of the world. You see, the Beatitudes that you read about, if you read the scriptures, doesn't show us how to be saved, but rather describe the characteristics of one who has been saved. You know, I could ask everyone the question tonight, anyway, those who are saved, you know, sometimes you have to look and you have to ask the question, I'm saved, now what? Since the time that you were saved, if you still act, talk, walk, do all of the same things you did before you were saved, there is no Christian growth. You see, each of these Beatitudes tell us something about what our attitude should be. See the Beatitude? Look at that. And that particular verse is called the Beatitude, and it's very famous. It's very well known. It's memorized by many. But it tells us what our attitude should be. You know, blessed means to be happy, spiritual well-being, and prosperity. But you see, these scriptures here is something more deep. It's telling us how to have the joy of the soul. Y'all know I say all the time there's a difference between happy and joy. You see, each beatitude has two aspects. Those who achieve the first aspect of the Beatitude with the right attitude will also experience the second aspect of the Beatitude, which is the kingdom of heaven. You must achieve the first in order to receive the second. The blessed have a share in your salvation. You know, blessed are those, you know, who've been saved, you know, blessed have a share in your salvation and have entered the kingdom of God. But it's the kingdom of God on earth. just experiencing a foretaste of heaven. You know, people think about salvation for something way in the future, or the great by and by. But I want you to know every time that God wakes you up in the morning, he saved you. Salvation means to be saved. Every time you come out of a situation, God saved you. Come on now. Every time, you know, something happened and you think you can't make it and it seemed like the end of the world, and then one day it don't hurt the same way that it did before. That's a part of salvation here on earth, because God saved you. The Bible teaches us that God saves us from danger all the time, seen and unseen. That's salvation. So don't think of your salvation as just when you die or something you get. Think about salvation right here, right now. And Jesus is talking about it, the blessing that you can receive on earth now, which is a foretaste of heaven. You see, the Beatitudes describe the ideal principles and God's reward. God's rewards, both present and future. When Jesus taught the crowd, he had to deal with flawed concepts of the people. They expect a political leader to lead them out of the Roman occupancy, to get away from Romans who was occupying the place they live. They was worrying about Jesus coming and overthrowing them and becoming their king. But they wasn't necessarily worried about the bondage of their sins. They wanted someone to have compassion for the Jews and the Gentile converts alone. Selfish. They thought that being a descendant of Abraham was reason enough for the Messiah to accept them. They evidently had a spirit of entitlement. Jesus said, I'm opening the door to everyone. But if we was to summarize the Sermon on the Mount in a single sentence, it would be something like this. How to live lovingly and loving your neighbor as yourself and be dedicated to pleasing God. Some people like to say the Beatitudes is called the Golden Rules. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, if that was really the case and people could just do that one thing, how great it would be. If everybody didn't do things they don't want done to them, that they won't do it to others. If you don't want nobody to take nothing from you, you keep your hands off of other people's stuff. If all of this was going on, they wouldn't have a lot of time on the TV for news, because, you know, people is not interested in what's going good. They're always looking for things that's going bad. So when we look at these Beatitudes, we have to see what Jesus is saying. This is Jesus' first public sermon. And when he started talking, he had pulled his disciples aside, and he was teaching them first. But after you get into the other chapters, because the Sermon on the Mount is not just one chapter, it's three, chapter 5, 6, and 7. And as you continue to read the Sermon on the Mount, you see that the other people came in as well. He started teaching his disciples, and others came in. So if we look at the scriptures, we're going to read scripture, the verses 1, 2, and 3. And the scripture reads as follows. And seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And right now, I'm going to just stop and give honor to God, because we really didn't go to the throne of grace, but of course I prayed before we came on, and I ask that you guys pray. But I'm just going to ask the Holy Ghost to have his way. Give everyone that's listening illumination and revelation, and not allow his word to be returned void. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to read the scripture again, and they're saying, seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Many times when I read that a long time ago, when I didn't study and just read things and take things at face value, you would think it had to do something with financially being poor. You see, some think that Jesus was speaking of financial poverty. He is saying, but what he really is saying is, don't let riches and possession come between you and God. You see, money is not the problem. Money has never been the problem, but the love of money and what you do to get the money is the problem. You see, Jesus is concerned with our spiritual reality. The spiritual poor are not just speaking of materially poor. It is the poor in spirit who inherit the kingdom of God. Who are those, the poor in spirit? It's those who recognize their spiritual poverty, are those that are spiritually bankrupt. You see, that's what the poor in spirit is. You see, they understand their inability to do anything to satisfy themselves before God. Come on, y'all. You know, we always realize, we always say, you know, we are not righteous, but God is righteous. You know, that's what spiritually poor means. When you could really be honest, it's not about me, it's all about God. You know, my salvation was Jesus on the cross, not me. I can't get it by working. Everything I do is a filthy, like filthy dish rags. That's when you realize these things, that you really is humbling yourself before God, and they call that the spiritually poor. You know, and the scriptures say we all fall short of God's glory. And when they say we all fall short of God's glory, I want y'all to take heed to this tonight. When that scripture says that, plenty of times people use that to say, oh, we all sin, you know, and none of us is perfect. All of that is true. But you got to remember, once man sinned, it separated us from God. And because we have that sin nature right here, right now, today, me and each and every one of you, we could never be righteous enough to go before God. So when Jesus died, and he ripped the curtain, God extended his righteousness towards us. So when the scriptures say we all fall short of the glory of God, first of all, we could never be equal. We could never get close. We could never exceed God's glory. That's what it's talking about. That's what it's talking about. And we have to keep remembering that. And when we really remember that and we understand that, that's what gives us the ability to begin to love God the way we're supposed to, because we knew we couldn't do it in and of ourselves. And then that's when you know you're spiritually poor, because you could never reach God. You could never be right before God. You can never achieve your salvation. You don't have grace to give. So that's the spiritually poor. And he said they're going to see the kingdom of heaven. You see, they say a rich man is unlikely to humble himself before God, as it is for a camel to crawl through the eye of a needle. While the phrase kingdom of God can be broad in meaning, because people always ask, what do you mean the kingdom of God? The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is heaven here on earth. The kingdom of heaven is heaven. And God gives us a piece of heaven on earth and his kingdom on earth, which is the kingdom of God. And all of it is reference to our salvation. The kingdom of heaven is both eternal in heaven with God after death, and the eternal quality of life with God before death, the blessings here on earth. You got to remember, salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, should any man boast. We must realize and recognize our sinfulness before we can understand our need for a Savior. You see, that's how you came to Christ, because you knew you couldn't save yourself, poor in spirit. That's how you stay with Christ and give him his proper place, because you know what he did you couldn't do. And all of these things is what makes us poor in spirit. You see, poor in spirit is to be humble, which is the opposite of proud. The world, people in the world won't be proud. They have big heads. They did it. They money. They this and that. They can't be poor in spirit because their spirit is so boosted up with their own themselves being legends in their own minds. But you see, being spiritual poor is when we realize that we can never be worthy and give credit totally that it's all by God's grace. And if we look at the fourth verse, it says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Many things happen to us in life, like death of loved ones. All sorts of things happen to us that brings us grief. But God will comfort us when we turn to him. The term moan means to experience deep grief. In keeping with his theme of spiritual blessedness, Jesus seemed to indicate that this mourning is due to grief, but it should be over the grief of sin. The people who agree with God about evil of their own heart, that would be the poor in spirit, can obtain a state of blessedness due to the comfort they receive from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. You see, when we look at all these things going on in the world today, you know, and it's getting closer and closer, you know, everything used to happen across town, now it happened in town, and everything used to happen to them, but now it's happening to us, and everything happened to the neighbor, but now it's in your backyard. He's saying, blessed are those that mourn. You see, when we see these things happen, what do? We have got so sensitized to all of this evil till we could see things on TV, and if people don't even mention it like they used to. You know, heard how many killings? You know, we had killings long time ago, and it was like, wow. But people hear it, and they keep on moving, especially when it's not affecting them at that time. But those who moan, you should moan for them boys on the street. You should moan for whatever. You should moan for them children that the government have in them cages. Moan for evil. And because of what Jesus Christ did, and that last thing I said, the Holy Ghost will comfort us. And the Word of God lets us know God is in control. That's comfort. But he's telling you, you should have a heart to moan and grieve for injustice everywhere. You see, the Spirit comfort those who are honest about their own sin, being godly sorry for their disobedience and humble enough to ask for forgiveness and healing. See, God honors that. He knows we ain't going to be perfect. But if you walk around with your chest always poked out, and as some people say all the time, they don't do nothing wrong. See, God have a problem with that because they're lying. The truth ain't in them. I'm going to read it again. You see, the people who agree with God about the evil of their own heart can attain a state of blessedness due to the comfort they're going to receive from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. You know, I tell you guys all the time that I believe the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But I haven't been able to achieve it. And see, I'm confessing that I know that. And I say other times that I am faithful, but I'm not perfect. See, we have to tell the truth, and you know, we have to tell the truth about ourselves. And many of us could take all the time in a day to point fingers and judge somebody else. Do you take time and look at your own self? You so busy talking about somebody else, you just missing what needs to be fixed in you. You see, those who hide their sin or try to justify it before God. Now, you know, that's ludicrous because God knows everything. But those who try to hide their sin to justify it before God can never know the comfort that comes from a pure heart. When we see the condition of this world, the unjust, the killing, the imprisonment of our youth, greed, disrespect on all sides, and our political leaders trying to make wrong right, it should grieve us and cause us to moan, but not defeat us because of Jesus Christ. We should grieve for the lost souls in this lost world. You know, we know that their end is spiritual death. How many people you know don't know God? And by the way, it's not your job to get them saved. But God did command that you shed a word. Now, you shed a word of God and you keep it moving. And you might be surprised that somebody along the way that you shared the word with, because the Holy Ghost sent you, that person's heart may be softened and they accept the word of God from you. But we need to grieve for the loss. But we will be confident knowing that God is in control. Remember, all of this is temporary because the word of God said that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The word meek refers to mildness, gentleness of spirit, or humble. Meekness is humility towards God and towards others. It is having the right, watch this, y'all. It is having the right or the power to do something, but refraining from doing it for the benefits of others. Have you ever done that? The world says when you meek, you are weak and you're beat. But we see here the meekness is strength under control. You know, you really become meek when you can control yourself. Yeah, I could call the police on them, but I'm not gonna call the police. I'm refraining for something that I legally can do. You know, I could do thus and so, but I'm not gonna do it. Things that you legally have the right to do, but you hold up on it because you meek, knowing you have the power to do something, but refraining for the benefit of someone else. Meekness. Number six, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Remember, we're talking about the Beatitudes. Jesus is not telling us how to be saved, but he's telling us how we should act once we are saved and what type of attitude we should have. And number six that I just read, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You see, like a baby is hungry and it cried for milk, we should be hungry to learn what God wants us to do. The Bible tells us the things that please God, and that is where we get our spiritual food. Have you eaten from the smorgasbord lately? The Bible is our spiritual food. You have to take care of your physical body, but you best take care of your spiritual man that's inside of you. You know, feeding your physical body is important, but we should also feed our spirit. Those who are poor and empty in their spiritual poverty recognize the depth of their need, and they hunger and thirst for that which only God can give them. Lord, give me just a little bit more. Lord, I need you to mold and shape me. Lord, I need you to help me to be a better person, spiritually poor. Lord, please help me. You know, when you say these type of things, even though you're doing the best you can, and even though you did better than you did last year, but you know, there's something in us that we have to keep doing it because we fall short. So we're just trying to be the best we can be. We're trying to grow as much as we can grow. You see, Jesus later spoke about the living water, where you will get it and thirst no more. And when he was being tempted by Satan, he talked about the bread of life being the word of God. So Jesus talked about these things that's like spiritual food that you would need in a physical to help you with your spiritual, you know. He said, the water that I give you, you will never thirst again, the word of God. And the bread of life, which is the word of God, you see. So what this scripture is saying, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, you know, somewhere else in the Bible they say, seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. God is not trying to hide anything from you. And how fast and how far you go, it depends on you. We need to get real serious and be real truthful with ourselves. We know how we handle the word of God. We know how we handle it, and we know how we mishandle it. And everybody don't grow at the same pace. But you still, wherever you are, is all right with God. And if you're not where you at, then you have to thirst and hunger for it. Spend a little more, even more time with it. Come on, y'all. If you know the word and then do the word, this scripture says, blessed are those who thirst, and you will be filled, the scripture says. Number 7, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You see, the person who is merciful is kind and forgiving. This person is not hateful towards others, but look for the good qualities in people. That's deep, and everybody can't do that. To be merciful is to show forgiveness and compassion to those in need. God's mercy is God holding back the punishment we do deserve, and we should not be willing to quickly punish others. Jesus is saying to be blessed with mercy, you must be willing to give mercy. When someone is merciful, they give instead of taking. Hallelujah. They love and not hate. They are forgiven and not withholding on to the faults of others. And they help while others abuse. You know, it's so amazing that some people want to be given mercy all the time, and yet they're not willing to give mercy no time. Y'all know somebody like that? You see, our salvation is also called an act of God's mercy. Our salvation is also a part of God's mercy. He saved us not because of the righteous things we've done, but because of his mercy. You see, Romans 5 and 8 said, but God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have received so much mercy, we should extend mercy towards others so that we will be blessed. You don't show mercy, you can't get that blessing. And there's other scripture that back that up, because they say you have to sow what you want to reap. And 8 verse says, blessed is the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The word pure means to be clean and blameless. Those who have been declared innocent because of the work of Jesus, not because of you, the work of Jesus, are being sanctified by his refining fire and his pruning. You know, they say God will take us to the fire and we come out as pure gold. You see, the word heart here refers to the spiritual center of your life. It is where thoughts, desires, sense of purpose, will, understanding, and your character resides. So to be pure in heart means to be blameless in who we actually are. Pure in heart involves having a singleness of heart towards God. A pure heart has no hypocrisy. It has no hidden motives and no private agendas. It is more than an extended purity of behavior for show. But it's it is more than an external purity of behavior for sure. But I want you to say, let you know that a pure in heart is the internal purity of the soul. You see, the way to be pure in heart is to allow God to continue the work that he has started in us. God is constantly working it out, and he's constantly molding and shaping, and he's constantly circumcising our heart. And you see all this, I said, he, not you. You heard what I said, he, not we. See, these are the things that God can do. You ain't even smart enough to know what to do. Come on, y'all. Or how to do it. But the way to have a pure heart is to allow God to continue the work that he started in you from the inside out, molding and shaping us into our intended purpose. And when we look at the last one right now, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. God laid down his life to make peace between God and sinners. Wasn't that a perfect peacemaker who was willing to give up his life to stop the turmoil that was between man and God, that he paid his life for it? You won't even make a phone call to be a peacemaker. Hello. You can't even say, I'm sorry, to make peace. But God laid down his life to make peace between God and sinners. And when we carry that message of peace to others, we are peacemakers. God delights in those who reconcile others to himself, those who bring the gospel, the word of God. Say, the people who bring the word, the God, words of gospel to the people are beautiful. Do you want to be called beautiful at some time or another? You see, there is no real peace apart from a relationship with God. Those who bring the wonderful message of God, peace to the world, are the peacemaker, and Jesus calls them the children of God. Do you know that you are a child of God? I remember the first time I said that the Holy Ghost gave it to me, and I expressed it, and it sounded so good to me. I said, I'm a child of God, and it was in a situation where peace was being made. Hallelujah. Where peace is concerned, you can be a part of the problem or part of the solution. And number 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and should say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which was before you. Come on, y'all. God say, you know, he talks about us being persecuted for him. But he told you it's going to happen. He said, but bless. He's saying that you're going to receive the kingdom of heaven. God telling you to take these, have these attitudes, telling you this is how you should live here on earth. But he's also telling you by being these things what you're gonna achieve. You see, we must stand up for what is right, even when it means making someone angry or upsetting someone. We must tell the whole truth. We must tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God, all the time. You can't start watering down the word of God to fit someone's personality. You can't water the word of God down to fit someone's lifestyle. It either is or it ain't. It's either right or it's wrong. You see, sometimes this is a hard thing to do, but it's pleasing to God. You see, it is a sin to lie, but Jesus says it's also a sin to know the truth and not say it. You see, some people twix and mix the word of God with other philosophies to fit other agendas. But I come to tell you tonight, anytime when you're talking about the word of God or a certain issue, and you say, well, but, you just messed up. Yeah, I heard that, but. Yeah, it is, but. Whenever you got to do that, you done messed up. You see, the fact that we are being persecuted proves that we are faithful, not perfect, letting our light so shine. We are pressing towards the mark. And it is true that faithless people goes unnoticed because they have no light. And you say you're a Christian of God, he asks you to shed a word, and you so unnoticed as being one of his children because you don't have no light. You see, the prophet of the Old Testament were persecuted. Then the followers in the New Testament was persecuted. And Jesus was persecuted unto death. I ain't going back to that church no more because they say it's something about me. They say it's something I didn't like. And this is the most craziest thing I see. First of all, every church is not for everybody, and that's why there's so many. So God ain't going to let you hold on to that, you know, that excuse. But people will say that the people at the church did them something. And it could be one thing. It could be a combination of things. And yet that person been on the same job for 30 years, and many times you talk about them, they tell you everything that's wrong with that job and how sick it makes you. But every morning they get up and they go to work. Something ain't right with that. And people, some of them might say, yeah, dude, I keep going back because they got a great retirement. Well, I come to tell you tonight, God has a retirement plan that's really out of this world. You can't beat God's giving. Come on, y'all. The Bible said that there is nothing that can happen to you that is not common to man. So as I end the program tonight, boys being persecuted, I want you to know that you have to take your lickings and keep on ticking. Continue to stand up for the blood-stained banner because great is your reward in heaven. Hold on to the confession of your faith and follow Jesus no matter what the cost. If you meditate on the lesson tonight, I will go back and read your scriptures. The main things I wanted you to know, this is the Sermon on the Mount. It's the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapter of Matthew. Jesus was not teaching how to get saved, but how to act once you're saved. And he was letting us know what type of attitude we should have. And that's our lesson for tonight. If anyone would like to say anything, you could press the 1 button. Anyone would like to make comments, anyone would like to ask for prayer requests, anyone would like to give encouragement, anyone would like to say something about the lesson. Because, you know, I tell you guys all the time, I don't know everything. And I don't confess to be the smartest tool in the shed. So it could be sometimes that you got another precept about this lesson, or you have another way that y'all know what I'm talking about. So if there's anyone would like to say anything, you can press the one button on your phone. And I will definitely open the mic for you. Caller, your number is 504-223-37. Your mic is open.
How you doing, Ms. Diane and Pastor Diane? This is Janice from Greater Liberty. I'm asking for you guys to keep praying for me. Prayers is working. The cancer is going away. I have a granddaughter now that needs some prayers. And I'm asking you guys to pray for my granddaughter. Her name is Javonda Cables. She's 20 years old, and she's going through a lot medical-wise.
Now, what's her name? Devon what?
Javonda.
So we can write it down. Devonda.
Javonda Cables.
What's her last name?
Cables.
Capers?
Cable, C-A-P-L-E-S.
Okay, got it. And we want you to know, Sister Janet, you're still on the prayer line. And every first Wednesday in the month, all of the names on the prayer line is read out loud. And our prayer line lady who keeps up with it for us, she bring them to the throne of grace for prayer. But it is always our desire that everyone pray for one another on our Monday night Bible study, program. Because, you see, we have come together. We stay together, and, you know, sometimes we get to hear what's going on in each other's lives, and we have to be prayerful for one another. So, Sister Janet, I want you to know your name is on the list. And we will definitely add your granddaughter name on the list. And I thank you for being on the program tonight. I thank you for having the courage to ask for prayer, because plenty of people need prayer and they evidently don't even have the courage to ask for it. And we're going to keep praying for you and your family and your granddaughter. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you all. My God bless.
All right. Anybody else would like to ask for prayer, anything at this time? It is now the, we got 2 minutes. It's not quite 8:30. And I want to tell you guys, y'all could call in a little bit earlier than 8:30 because I think the time is off like 3 or 4 minutes, the program time. It's the program time and your time. So keep that in mind. Would anyone else like to say anything? Well, if not, we're going to go ahead and we're going to end our lesson tonight. I pray that, okay, caller, your number is 504-621-14. Your mic is open.
Yes, I just want to say that the word that went forth tonight was truly a blessing. It brought tears to my eyes, and it was well delivered by the Holy Ghost. And I just want to say thank you and be encouraged tonight.
Thank you so much. Thank you, my sister. Thank you. And it's time to end the program. My sister, you still on the line?
Yes.
I'm just asking you because I have your line open and it's time for us to pray. Would you like to lead us in a prayer to go out tonight?
I'm driving at the time.
Gotcha. But you be blessed and thank you so much for calling in. Thank you, my sister. Anyone else would like to pray or say anything at this time, press the one button. Well, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, all I could do is say thank you. Thank you for that mercy you talked about, and I thank you for that grace, dear God. which you allow to abound with us by the blood of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that I understand that I have to be a peacemaker. I have to have meekness in my life, dear God. I have to moan for that which is not good, dear God. I have to thirst after you, dear God, so that I can be filled. Thank you for your word, dear God. And Holy Ghost, thank you for presenting it the way you do. I'm only a vessel. I emptied out, and I told you to have your way. And this is what we come out with tonight. Lord, I hope that hearts have been touched, minds have been regulated, and we grow in grace and the knowledge of you, which is our reasonable service. Lord, I love you. I can't do without you. And because of you, I am what I am. Lord, I can't say because I was so good. I can't say because I looked so good. I can't say because I knew so much. I can't say because I whatever. All I could say, it's God's grace. All things through Christ Jesus. Lord, you assigned for me to do this tonight before the foundation of the world. And for that I say thank you. And for that I say I pray you get the glory, not only for my teaching but for the life that I live. And I ask that you circumcise my heart because I confess that I'm spiritually poor. And I need you. And I submit to you more and more each day. Have your way with me, dear God. Use me, for I am only your servant. I'm a slave towards Jesus Christ because he's my Lord and my Savior and my Master. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I lift up your holy name, Jesus. Amen and thank God. That's our program for tonight. And if it's God's will, we'll be back next week. Same time, same station. And I want each and every one of you to know that God loves you, and so do I. And you go out and be blessed. You share a word of God with somebody. Don't let God keep giving you all of this word and you're keeping it for yourself. God is letting you receive so that you can give. We have another caller on the line. Caller, your number is 504. I don't know if it's a 615 or a 612. Hello, caller. Caller, I think that's the one because the both of them numbers is 6. I didn't know. So let me see.
Yes, caller, hello.
Your number is 504. Yes. Your mic is open, darling.
How you doing? Okay, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Great, great. No, I just wanted to kind of say something. Like I said, you know, I come on and I listen to you, and I enjoy you, and I appreciate what you do. But can I just make a comment about something, and I'm not being, you know, I'm just, because I think that we need to learn in particular, like today the lesson was on Matthew 5, and if you go, well, the 13 to the 16 verse, it says that we're the salt of the earth and the light to the world. But then Jesus tells us also to say, now that we know our master, no longer are we slaves, for now we are children of the Most High God. And I think that we got to transform and transform ourselves from thinking as slaves and thinking as people that's been empowered with the power from on high, that we can go out to the highways and the byways and bring people to the light of God. And like I said, I like your teaching and everything, but, you know, I know that we commonly been taught that to say that we slave, but, again, Jesus did away with that slave, that enslavement thing, did away with the disconnect. And in Jeremiah 31, God says that, that it's his desire to dwell in his people. So if God dwells in us, which God is spirit, and those of us worship must worship in spirit and truth, that means that everything that we need, we have, because God be in us, in Christ. In John 14, they tell you that. So I'm just saying that to say that sometimes, you know, because the Bible says a person thinks it, so are they. So we have to start thinking from a victorious standpoint, because we've been endowed with the gift of God, which is the Spirit, that we can go out and do the work of God. Great works have I done, but yet greater works have you to do. But if I think as a slave, because Harriet Tubman said, I saved 1,000, but I could have saved 2,000 if only they knew they were slaves. So the thing is that we must know who we are, and when we know who we are, then we can act on behalf of God, because God now has empowered us to do so. And that's all I want to say, sister. But again, I thank you. I bless God for you. And I appreciate, you know, your consistency. But God bless you. God bless. I just wanted to say that. And I just had to say that. Blessings.
Okay, brother. I understand what you're saying. And when I reference slave to Christ, I mean, I said I am a slave to Christ as he is my Lord and Master. So, you know.
But he said he's our brother.
But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, no, the book says that. He said, because when he said, no longer are you slaves, but now you're children of the Most High God. You're children of God. So we are brothers, heirs, joint heirs, all that stuff. But I'm saying that to say, because, well, like in a group that you're speaking in, you know, the level of people that's on here might not get that. I don't know. I
understand what you're saying, and I even said that we are children of God. So I definitely understand what you said, and I understand what you're saying, how it could be perceived.
Yeah.
Because Jesus,
yeah,
like you're saying, he took us out of the slavery of sin.
Yeah.
And made us heirs and joint heirs, and made us brothers and sisters. And so, you know, I do understand clearly what you're saying.
Amen.
And for clearing it up for
someone else, I said it one way.
You brought it in a way, and that's what Bible study is all about.
Yeah, exactly. But it's all in love, because I appreciate you. I appreciate what you do. I tell you that all the time when I speak. Yeah, so it's all in love. But anyway, but thank God for you. Thank God for you.
Thank God for you as well, brother. And believe me,
yes,
I'm not taking it, you know, I said before you came on, I'm not the smartest person. And I never claimed to be the smartest one in the shed. But I can tell you that I am faithful. And I'm not perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And it takes all of us.
Yeah. And you invite other people to speak, you know, so you know that you're sharing this thing with others. So, I appreciate you. I really do. But, you know, just sometimes,
I appreciate you too, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you might hear somebody say, well, you know, and again, it's not a correction or nothing. It's just input. You know what I mean? Because you do a great job, sister. You really do. You do a great job. Yes.
Thank you
so much,
my brother.
Thank you.
And I pray that you continue to call and continue to share with us. Because this is not my Bible study. It is our Bible
study. Amen, sister. Amen. Thank you. Bless you.
Okay?
Yes. I'm going to shut up here.
That's our program for today. Huh?
No, go ahead.
That's our program. You finish? That's our program tonight. And that's why I give you guys the scripture where we're coming from, so you could study and you may have something to interject and bring the program to, you know, to a deeper meaning. And I welcome that. I welcome each and every one. Caller, your number is 504-491. Your mic is on. It's open.
Yes. Yes, I just wanted to say, first of all, I wasn't going to say anything. I thank God for you. I've been missing a lot of your teachings. I love your teachings. I just wanted to say what the gentleman just said. Isn't a slave of Christ would be the same as a servant of Christ? And we are children of Christ.
The word terminology would be the same way.
But it could be the same way. We are disciples and servants of Christ. And our job is to go out and tell it. And that is the main moral of it. It's not, it's terminology sometimes, like he said, some people will take a word and slave and take it out of context. But to me, slave is the same as a servant of Christ. And we are, we have been inherited, and we are children of God. But as children of God, we are servants of God. Jesus Christ was a servant. And as disciples, we are to serve. And serve and slave, or slave of Christ, to me is the same. I just wanted to bring that out in case anyone was listening. I thank God for you. I've been missing a lot of your teachings for a number of reasons, but I enjoy each and every one of them. Even if I read and I study the lesson beforehand, and when 8:30 get around, I don't get a chance to interact with the group and listen to your teaching, it's still a blessing to me, because sometimes I'll just pull up the lesson. But I thank God for you. Let him to continue to use you and continue to be faithful, because you are faithful. Even when I fall short from week to week and for whatever reason I am not able to get on, you are there. You're letting God use you. Continue. Don't let anything get in your way. Continue to be a servant and slave to Jesus Christ. God bless you, my sister.
Thank you so much, my sister. If you don't mind, could you give me your name? If you don't like to give me your name, it's okay.
My name is Michelle.
All right, Miss Cheryl. Thank you so much. And you be blessed. And I thank you so much for the encouragement.
I love you, darling. Continue to do God's work. Continue to let him use you in the way that he's using you, because you are touching lives. You know, social media, you are touching lives. I know you've touched my life. You encourage me. When I can't get to Bible class, I listen at you. Listen at the lesson, not you. Listen at what God had given you, and it blessed me so. So continue. Don't let anything stray you away from that. God bless you.
Thank you so much, my sister. And, you know, a part of the reason when the Holy Ghost gave me this some six, almost 7 years ago, it was for people who maybe missed their Bible study, people who can't go out at night or things like that. This is just a forum for that. And I thank God for it. I thank God for each and every one of you. And I pray that we continue to come together. And this is not my Bible study. It is our Bible study. And I open the door and the floor for to hear any comments and take it. And that's how we grow. And that's how we, you know, have discussions. And that's a part of our Bible lesson.
I
say thank you. That's right.
You're welcome.
And I welcome every comment.
You're welcome.
And like they say, the only comment that's not a good comment is a comment that someone have and don't want to say it. So I thank you, my sister, and
yes.
I thank you, my brother, all in the name of Jesus. So all of us,
in the
let's
name
be
of
blessed.
Jesus.
Remember to continue to pray for each other. Pray for our Monday night Bible study, and let God use us. You know, we got to come from the Bible study and take what we have, and we have to give it away. So with that being said, everyone be blessed. And if it's God's will, we'll meet again back next week. Glory be to God.
To God be the glory.
That's our program for tonight. And we'll continue on Wednesday if God say the same. And I want you guys to know, once you press the one button, if you're trying to press it again, it won't give me another prompt. So if you want to say something and you had already said something, you could give it to me next week. The door will still be open. God be with you until we meet again. Good night.